The basic idea is walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The concept of Galatians is not just about becoming a Christian, which was my old view, but also how you live the Christian life and how you don't live it. We live the Christian life by grace. We need to walk in the Spirit because we are led by the Spirit, as Luke said a little bit earlier. We need to walk in the Spirit, and that's important. Okay, so if we have, can put up the first video there, or the first slide. Okay. So we're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit, how to live the Christian life. So we're not talking so much about how you become a Christian, that's in there, but we're talking about how you live the Christian life. Now that we are not under the law, but grace, we need to walk in the Spirit because we are led by the Spirit. All right, that's the point of this book. All right, and so I think we need to look at that in some detail. All right, let's go to the second slide here. Now, first of all, let me do a little review of the past and a look at the present. The past has to do with what we've studied before. And I think that what Audrey had to say was probably a pretty good summary and of that, which is body life. The life of the body involved with one another. And that's been one of the challenges with all of this COVID. We've been more isolated. But I hope, and this has been our prayer as elders, is that we don't come to the place of feeling like it's all right to be isolated. You know, as if this was a classroom and the only thing that's really important is to get the sermon or whatever, or maybe the worship time. But it really is important for us to be involved in one another's lives, not only on Sunday morning, but throughout the rest of the week. You know, and what Audrey had to share with us was right on point in terms of we need to think in terms of what needs to be done. All right, so we have emphasized over the last while, we've emphasized unity and growth. And then what we are going to look at now is the basic command. Let's go to the next slide, Chris. That's not it. Okay. All right, so if we look at the past, what we've covered over the last couple of years, in case you haven't been paying attention, we've been talking about body life. The church is the body of Christ on earth to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so we don't just gather because, well, gathering is the rule. But we are to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ and to become more like him. So you have a passage like Ephesians 4, the first few verses of Ephesians 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So unity and spiritual growth. You know, there was a stage in the church in the early years of the church where it was the big spiritual thing to go off into a cave by yourself. But that's not the way spiritual growth works. Spiritual growth works through the body. You know, otherwise, even if it's us out in our cave, eating our handful of grain and reading whatever scripture we have on hand, we lack one of the elements, one of the most basic elements that we need for growth, which is the life of the body. All right, so that's been our emphasis over the last few years, and I am glad to that some of it has soaked in, as we see in Audrey's case, but in many other cases as well, in our prayer life, in our help with other people. And, you know, on Sunday morning, just look around and say, okay, this person looks discouraged. I wonder what I can do to encourage them. Or you look around and you say, okay, there's a person that needs to some teaching or they need to be uplifted. Or maybe I can get together with them for lunch. You know, try to do something beyond the necessities or the requirements, whatever we think of as the requirements of the Christian life. Oh, I'm required to come on Sunday. Oh, maybe I'm required to go to a home group. But the Christian life is a lot more than that. And now what we are going to place an emphasis on in the present is that personal aspect of the Christian life. So in the right side, it says, now that we are not under the law, but grace, we need to walk in the Spirit because we are being led by the Spirit. And so you have a verse like the one that's right over here on the wall. It says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Have you ever thought about this being the basic command of the Christian life? You know, if you if I did a survey of, you know, what's the key verse for the Christian life? There are probably all kinds of things we'd come up with, but here we have a command that says if we walk by the Spirit, we will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. Now the question is, do we really believe that? Or do we substitute rules and law in place of walking in the Spirit? Because this is such a simple statement. You know, if somebody came up to you, a brand new Christian, and say, well, what do? How do you live the Christian life? You could turn to Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. So the contrast here is between flesh and fleshliness and walking in the Spirit. But we have to learn how to do that. All right, and then we have to do it consistently. That's the hard part. But if we look at this, it's the most basic command in my book of the Christian life. Whatever commands we have in relationship to becoming a Christian or sharing our Christianity, the basic, most internal one, the one that applies to me as an individual, is walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. That's pretty basic, all right? And I think that's an important thing for us to understand. So we're going to be dealing with it over the next few weeks. We're going to be dealing that from the book of Galatians. And I think it's important for us to understand. We should come out the other end saying, okay, now I know what it means to walk in the Spirit, or particularly what it does not mean, which is a lot of what this book is about too. And I think it's important for us individually to understand this. For this reason, over the next several weeks, we're going to study the book of Galatians. It's not that we are abandoning, you know, body life. We'll come back to that, I'm sure, time and time and time again, because it's very fundamental to the Christian life. And in fact, if we learn how to walk in the Spirit, then we also learn how to walk with the other Christians in the Spirit of God. All right, so I think it's important for us, because in the book of Galatians, you have this command in chapter 5, verse 16, to walk in the Spirit. And then verse 18, which is also on one of the things over here, is that if you are under if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's an important aspect for us to understand. All right, so let's go to the next slide. That's not the next slide. That's the next slide. Here's what I thought when the first few times that I read the book of Galatians. I thought it was about justification by faith. And that if I'm justified by faith and not by the law, then I have right standing with God. Okay, but the thing that struck me the most, and so, let's go on to the next video. We are justified by faith, we are told, not by the law. And that's in the book of Galatians, but that's not all there is by any means to the book of Galatians. So let's look at the next slide, number 6 there. So what I thought was that the book was about being justified by faith and not by the law. But I find that in this book, there is a lot more, the reality. How do you live the Christian life, and how do you not live it? All right, and I think this is an important aspect for us to come to grips with. How do you live the Christian life? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And how is that different from how we're not to live the Christian life, which unfortunately is the way that many of us live it. All right, so I think it's important, it's key. For instance, once we are justified by faith, how do we live the Christian life and how do we not live it? Now, we know that we no longer have to go to the Jewish temple. There isn't any temple to go to. And we don't have to make animal sacrifices. But we tend to still think in terms of rules. All right, so we want, okay, what is the new set of rules? So the tendency, especially for new Christians, is to think, okay, I'm not under the law of Moses. So what are the new set of rules that I am under? The assumption is that the Christian life, like everything else, is lived by a set of rules. And we either pick and choose from the Old Testament and say, okay, I don't have to make animal sacrifices anymore, but I have to keep the Ten Commandments. Or I go to church on the Sabbath, even though the Sabbath isn't Saturday anymore, but Sunday. Or I have to give my tithe, even if that's not 10%. You see how confusing that whole kind of thing is? I'm under the law, but not under the law. And so it ends up with confusion. Or we invent our own new version of law. I don't drink or smoke or go with those who do. You know, and so we invent our own law since we know we're not under the law of Moses, so I must be under some other law. And so we begin to invent that. So the answer we give to ourselves or others give to us as new Christians especially is we must still be under the Ten Commandments. After all, when I was a kid, in the church I went to, they gave me a bookmarker that was the Ten Commandments, so I must be under the Ten Commandments. But one of the difficulties is that the Ten Commandments are listed in the law. In Exodus 20, the law. In Deuteronomy 5, the law. And the ones in Exodus 20, after it lists the Ten Commandments, it goes into immediately other kinds of commandments that are have to do with slavery, personal injury, or property rights. So how do we separate those out? Oh, well, we just cover chapter 20, you know, the Ten Commandments. I mean, it's on the every courthouse, or used to be, and that sort of thing. All right, but that's part of the confusion. If we're not under the law, then in what way are we under the Ten Commandments, which is part of the law? All right, so we look at this and we see the Mosaic Law has not only the Ten Commandments, but it has things that you're supposed to eat and not supposed to eat. And you have sacrifices. You have all of these kinds of things. So, after all, aren't most of the Ten Commandments repeated in the New Testament? And most of them are. Not all of them, but most of them are. But on the other hand, how do you live the Christian life? You know, what's the relationship that we have with the law? Even the Ten Commandments. And we have to deal with that and understand that. That, first of all, let me suggest that you throw the idea of law out the window. I was talking to Dave Adamson the other day, and he says, well, I like rules. You know, and I think there are probably a lot of us that like rules. And so if we're not under the Mosaic Law, we find out what other rules we're under. So let me suggest to Dave and anyone else that we throw the idea of law out the window. Because we are not under law. All right. So the Christian life is not a set of rules, whether it's the old rules or new rules. It's not a set of rules. It's a personal relationship that we call walking in the Spirit. It's a personal relationship with God. The Spirit of God dwells in us and guides us in the way we should go. We are not under law, but we are not lawless. Boing. All right, you want me to solve all of that problem? come back next week and the week after that and the week after that, because we're going to be going through the whole book of Galatians and dealing with these issues. So the question remains, what is our relationship to law, and how are we as Christians to live the Christian life? So I have an assignment for you. Let's go to slide number 7. Read Galatians over and over and over again, because that's where you find the command toward the end of the book where it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And when you study the book, when you read it over and over again, think to your mind, how do I live the Christian life, and how do I not live the Christian life? All right, especially that question of how do I not live the Christian life is key to understanding the whole book. All right, so I would recommend that. I have mentioned before that one of the scholars of the 20th century, Donald Gray Barnhouse, who lived in and taught in Philadelphia, he said, "I'm not prepared to teach a book until I've read it 60 times. So since we've had a 2-week delay, you should be, close to 60 by now. But if you're like me, well, you're nowhere close to 60. But nevertheless, this is an opportunity to be able to study. It's not a very long book. It's only 6 chapters. And in fact, what I did is I downloaded an audio of it. So whenever I get in the car, that's only an 8-minute drive between my house and the church. And so I can't even get all the way through the book of Galatians in that one-way trip. But by the time I get back home and, listen to the rest of it, then I've gotten through the whole book of Galatians. All right, so I would recommend that you read it or listen to it and that you get the book of Galatians in your mind, because that's what we're going to be working on for the next 14 weeks, something like that. All right, so if you're not reading something critical in the Bible, something that you just have to read in order to get something straightened out in your life, then I would recommend that you go through the book of Galatians at least several times. You know, it's, like I said, it's easy reading, short reading. And you can read it in whatever translation you prefer. If you have trouble with the these and thous, read something then more modern translation. But in any case, it's a short book, and I was surprised this time when I went through it as what it was talking about this time through, what I thought it was talking about before, and how much more, how much richer it is now to me. All right, so I think that's an important thing, but let me give you a little bit of an outline so that as you read through it, you will be aware of this outline. So the first point of the outline is in chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 18. And Paul makes the point that the gospel he preaches is by revelation from God. Now, they already knew the law of Moses was by revelation. So Paul is making the point, yeah, the gospel that I preach is by revelation also. It was revealed by God, so you don't do well to ignore it. In fact, it's considered an abandonment of the gospel, and you come under the curse of God by abandoning it. All right, so it's important. And so when you listen to this first part, he's talking about that he and his friends didn't make up the gospel. But that, Galatians 1, 11 through 12 says this: "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what he talks about in the first section. And then he says, you know this, because in the next section, part of this section, he's going to be talking about how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Was it by works of the law, or was it by faith in Christ? All right, so this is a natural question, because there was no doubt in the mind of any of the hearers that the law of Moses was by revelation from God. That the Old Testament makes that pretty clear. All right, but now he's saying, okay, this thing, this gospel that I preach is also revelation from the same God. And he's going to make the point that it's one is not contrary to the other. All right, so if we look at the next slide, the second part is 3:19 through 4:31. It makes it clear that the law was never intended for salvation. All right, it was never intended for salvation, but to show us our sin and to point us the way to salvation through the picture of things like sacrifices, animal sacrifices. All right, so the beginning in 3:19, the question is raised. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. Transgressions is a big word, which means violations of the law. All right, and one of the things that struck me, it was added. In other words, it was not even God's original intention, if I can put it that way. When they crossed the Red Sea, his plan was to lead them into the land of milk and honey, to lead them to Zion. But because of the persistent sin in the wilderness, sin after sin after sin, therefore it was added because of their sinfulness, leading them to Sinai and the giving of the law, rather than and just directly into the promised land. All right, and so the purpose of the law is therefore to show us our sinfulness, just as it was showing the Jews their sinfulness, and also gives us a picture of what salvation is, the salvation that's revealed in Jesus Christ. All right, now if we look at the next point in our slide, this is chapter 5, through 6:18, which is the end of the book. All right, so that's the final part. Having undercut the law, not only as a means of salvation, but as the means of victory, keeping the law doesn't give you victory in the Christian life. Therefore, in chapter 5, verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walked up by the Spirit. What does that mean? How do we do that? This is the point of the whole series. Learning how we walk by the Spirit and how we do not walk by the Spirit. All right. And you walk by the Spirit because you're led by the Spirit. By the way, in relationship to this situation of the law, in Romans chapter 6, verses 14, it talks about the importance of being led by the Spirit. That is, you are saved by grace, therefore you are not under the law. All right, you're saved by the grace of God, and therefore you're not under the law, but you can have victory over sin, because you are not under the law. In other words, the law doesn't give victory. And it's interesting that in Romans 6:14, it doesn't say victory over the law. You're not under the law. It leaves out the word the. In other words, the principle by which we live the Christian life is not a law based principle of any kind, whether it's the Mosaic law or whether it's a law of our own invention. That's not how you live the Christian life. How do you live the Christian life? By walking in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. So that's the point of the whole series. So be sure and pay attention next week and the week after that and the week after that. And then come the 14th week, if you still don't understand, then just raise your hand and say, I still don't understand what it means to walk by the Spirit. Hopefully, we can figure that out by the time we get there. All right, so that's an important aspect of this. Now, the great point is this, and this is the next verse. You are led by the Spirit, and you are not under the law. This is 5:18. This is what I consider the summary verse of the whole book. All right, you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. By the way, I want to make this clear. It really isn't the case that some Christians are led by the Spirit and some are not. When I was a new Christian, I thought that the words led and walk were just synonyms. Okay, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you led by the Spirit? And I saw them as equal and as synonyms. And I thought of them as commands of the Christian life. But if you'll notice in verse 18 there, it's not a command, it's a statement. And it's not an if thing, like if as a Christian you are led by the Spirit, or if you are, if you are walking, led by the Spirit or not. He's basically raising the question as, are you saved or not? If you are saved, you're led by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. All right, so I think that's an important thing for us to understand. So Galatians 5:18 is significant. Paul is restating the point that he's made over and over again in the book, that you are not under the law, that you're justified through Jesus Christ, and you have and are led by the Spirit, and therefore not under the law, the Old Testament or any other kind of law. It's not a law-based system anymore. So, the if clause is simply raising the question of whether you're saved or not. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit and are therefore led by the Spirit. In Romans 8:14, if you want to look that up, you can. But it says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Those being led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Now turn that around. Are you a son of God? Yes. The New Testament is pretty clear on that. So, you're being led by the Spirit. All right, so you are being led by the Spirit, whether you knew it or not. You are being led by the Spirit. Every Christian is being led by the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone is walking according to the Spirit, but you are being led by the Spirit. All right, so we see this issue raised in Galatians 3 pertaining to the Galatians' own experience in chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. "This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" By hearing with faith? Yeah, that's the implication. And then he goes on to say, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" The flesh has no value in our salvation or in our Christian life. No, it's not by the flesh, but we are matured and perfected by the Spirit of God. And by the way, I know in my own case that most of the time I'm not even aware of that. You know, what I think of when I spend time thinking about my own situation is I think how far I have to go. I don't feel like, well, I'm 71 years old, therefore I must be about 99% there. But I'm aware of my shortcomings. But the promise of God is that He is the one that is maturing and perfecting us. And that's, to me, is a great reassurance. All right, notice that the issue here is not just how we began as Christians, but how we are perfected or matured. How they live the Christian life, not by the law, but by faith in Christ. In other words, by walking in the Spirit by which they are being led. All right, so let me finish with an Old Testament pattern. All right, the Old Testament does have its place. We are not under the law, but it does have its place. So here's the pattern for being led and walking in the Spirit. All right, three principles. First of all, in the wilderness, as they had come through the Red Sea and were out in the desert, they were led by the Spirit apart from the law. All right, so the law was given in chapter 19 of Exodus. But guess what? They were being led by the Spirit Even in chapter 13, prior to that, they were being led by the Spirit apart from the law. All right, so there's no connection between those two. So they were being led by the Spirit in a cloud. And Isaiah tells us that, Isaiah 63 tells us that they were being led by the Spirit in the wilderness. All right, and so this cloud, pillar of cloud, this pillar of fire was leading them and guiding them. And then in Exodus 40, 36 through 37, the last couple of verses of that chapter of that book, throughout all of their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. In other words, they'd walk. They would go journeying. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. So, number one, then, they were led by the Spirit, and it was apart from the law, even those who were given the law. It's important for them to understand. It's more important for us to understand as well. Now, the second thing is that God's desire was to develop their character by leading them. Now, obviously, they had practical things. They needed to go to places where there was water, where there was food, and that sort of thing. But notice that God is working on their character through this time. Will they trust the Lord? Will they trust the Lord? Will they trust the Lord, or will they not? Well, so often they did not. But nevertheless, that was God's purpose. The leading of the Holy Spirit, that is, and them walking in the Spirit, was a part of their character development. They were becoming more and more the people of God if they would submit to the leading that God had for them. All right, so he was developing their character. He could develop their character in, would they trust him for the manna in the wilderness? Would they trust him for the water? And so you end up with their character development as a result of walking in the Spirit. You know, whenever the Spirit led, would they follow? Now, the third thing is that character development comes by walking by the Spirit. All right, you want to know how your character is developed? By walking in the Spirit. I think it was Luke earlier on, that love, joy, peace, patience, all of those different things, the fruit of the Spirit. How does that come? By walking in the Spirit. Well, how do we walk by the Spirit? Well, first of all, you need to know that you're led by the Spirit, that God is leading you, that's what, one of the things that is important in the Christian life is to recognize that God is leading. Therefore, do we follow as he leads us? So as character development. This we see in chapter 5 of Galatians with the fruit of the Spirit. Character is the product. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of these different things are things that come by walking in the Spirit because we are led by the Spirit. But it doesn't come by keeping the law. We are not under the law. Now, on many occasions, the people did not walk according to the Spirit and as the Spirit led. But this did not change the fact that the Spirit did lead them. They just weren't walking according to his leading. They said, oh, let's go back to Egypt. Remember all the flesh pots? No, I don't remember any of the flesh pots, but if you say so. And so, if they would follow, they would not carry out the deeds of the flesh. So, in the end, go to the last slide here. Let me just give a summary of this Old Testament pattern because it's the pattern for us as well. You are led by the Spirit apart from the law. All right, just as they were led by the Spirit apart from the law, you are led by the Spirit apart from the law. All right, secondly, God's desire was to develop their character by leading them. God's desire is to develop your character by leading you. And I think that's important for us to understand when we're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're not necessarily talking about on a certain day God told me to sit down on a certain bench so I could share the gospel with a certain person. Now, I don't doubt that happens, and that's okay, but that's not what walking in the Spirit is about. Walking in Spirit is about character development And God is the one that's developing your character through love, joy, peace, patience, producing those things. So character development comes by walking in the Spirit. And that's what this whole series is about, walking in the Spirit. Now, you may wonder at this point, tell me, how do I walk in the Spirit? That's easy. Come back next week, and the week after that, and the week after that. And in between, read the book of Galatians, because that's the place where that gives the command to walk in the Spirit. So, let's find out what that means and what it doesn't mean. So that's key to understand, since I'm led by the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? I think I'll have Luke do the last lesson. That way, you know, if it doesn't all come together, it's his fault. All right. So that's what we will be studying the next few weeks. And what I would encourage you to do is to read the book of Galatians. You know, have it in your mind. You know, let it saturate your thinking so that by the end of this time, we understand what it means. Each one of us understands what it means to walk by the Spirit because we are led by the Spirit. Before we have our final song, let me just close this section in a word of prayer. Lord, we do pray that you would teach us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, you've given it as a command in Scripture. Lord, we need to understand what that means. Help us, Lord. Help us and guide us in understanding this, because you are leading us. You've given us the Spirit, and you are leading us. Thank you for that. Amen.